Hello, everyone. I'm Alex, and I'm here with my husband, Shane, and we are so glad that you could join us for Happy Hour on this Family Tree podcast, episode 204. And we have landed. We are back in Canada from a week's vacation at Grand Coast Beach Club in St. Martin. And I know we were talking about this on the last pod that you and I did together, but I still actually don't think I can get the name right. Is it Grand Cass or Grand Coast?
I can't tell the difference. I don't know. Both sounded identical to what you just said.
One's like Mama Cass, I guess.
Cass?
Or Coss.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's one of those things where as long as you're not saying case, I feel like you're safe because it shows that you know that it's not case.
I think that's good enough. And then the rest of it might just be like our weird Canadian accent. We can blame it on that.
Yeah.
So Shane, how are you feeling day one being back from a vacay? Because I know this is always the toughest day.
Post-trip anxiety is high. I always have it. It's a combination of not being used to the regular world and its rhythms, combined with the fact that my body's been ruined from sun exposure, alcohol, and food.
Oh my God. We were eating brownies like potato chips. There was a really great bakery and they made these awesome massive brownies. And every day I just take huge bites of brownies among other things. But that's the thing. I'm feeling the same way. And I put it up in my stories this morning. I was like, what is this feeling? And 10 people messaged me immediately and they're like, oh, that's just vacation hangover.
Yeah, I definitely have a vacation hangover. Your mom got sick the last day. Which normally happens to us, we get sick. I'm surprised we're not sick. Not to say we won't get sick, but right now I'm not feeling that ill besides the anxiety, the crippling anxiety I have and just feeling very, you know, I feel like eating healthy foods, which I never do.
I feel like eating only greens. There's a place on Concession where I know I for sure want to grab lunch or dinner today. That's like healthy food place. I want to get back into Pilates every day. I just want to be good to my body because I feel like I've abused it a little bit. But I mean, I do feel rested, which is a part of the reason I think for the anxiety as well. But yeah, don't feel sick. Generally feel good other than the vacay withdrawal. But Shane, I want to get into it. I want to break down this trip. It's the second time that we have stayed at Grand Cass Beach Club in St. Martin. It's our third time in St. Martin. And it feels different than other holidays. Like while I'm still there, I'm already nostalgic for it. Upon leaving, I have the feeling like, oh, I need to go back to that exact place. Whereas sometimes at other resorts, I'm like, oh yeah, I want to come back to this place, but maybe not this resort. Maybe let's try somewhere new. I don't even want to try somewhere new because it's got a magical feeling for me, the island as a whole, and then that little section of the island. So for those of you who don't know, St. Martin's divided into a Dutch side, like owned by the Dutch, and then a French side, which is owned by France. And there's no border or anything else. Like it's a unified island, but it's like two different countries essentially there. So we stay in the French side, like away from really any big towns, just kind of on this little quiet, cozy beach, not in the middle of nowhere, but just off to the side, off on its own. And it's a really quiet vibe, different from a lot of other trips we've taken. So how does it stand out for you because of that?
Okay, I feel like there's a couple questions thrown out at me. That was a long one. Okay, I think you're like, why do we want to go back there? And why does it stand out?
Why do you like it there, I guess? It can be distilled to.
Well, I think because you're a content creator, you get to stay at a place that's massive. So that's a huge advantage for me as the husband of a content creator. We don't just get to stay at an awesome place. We get to stay at like the best room at the best place. So for me, it's huge because the place is bigger than our house that we're staying in. And the view is amazing. And it's very kid friendly. The pool, it has a ledge. So kids can walk on the ledge while they're in the pool. Going into the beach is very walkable for kids. Like sometimes there's a steep drop when you go into an ocean. It's like two baby steps and then boom, you got to be 6 feet tall to or very good at swimming to be comfortable. This has that type of beach on the right-hand side where it's a little bit wavier and it's more for like adults, I'll say, although kids can play in it comfortably for the day, but it's just a little tiny bit you're not on edge, but you got to watch your kids. And then the other side, you can kind of not worry about the kids at all because it's so safe. And I don't know why, but for some reason, even on the windiest days, and this last 7 days we went were the windiest it's ever been in St. Martin. Not that it was, you know, a thing to really complain about because it was still great weather. But in every other beach we went to, it was unbelievably wavy where only you and I could go in. It wasn't even a consideration for Lucy or Betty to go in.
It was like kind of scary windy in some of the beaches.
Yeah, but when we went to our beach, somehow it's like, I don't even know what a cul-de-sac is, but it's in like an area
in like
that
a bay.
Is blocked away. What is a cul-de-sac?
A cul-de-sac is like a type of street, right? Isn't that like when you go and it's like a rounded street and then you got to turn around?
Yeah, that's like what I kind of meant. It's almost like a safe area. Sometimes when you're like a kid and it's really windy, if you're in like one of those areas and you're playing, it's like you're safe in that because you know there's not a lot of street traffic, but there's not a lot of wind traffic.
No, there is not a lot of wind traffic. And yeah, it's because we're in a bay and it's just protected. I don't know, maybe the mountains, because there's a lot of mountains around us. Maybe they're also kind of like shielding us. I was trying to think of that when we were there.
And you have a beautiful view of the mountains.
Yeah.
And you see goats every day.
Yeah.
Goats just walking around and like very steep mountains. And goats are good climbers. Did you know that?
Learn new things every day, Shane.
So for all those reasons, the restaurant. The restaurant. Fun. I really like the restaurant.
Yeah.
I feel like your mom didn't think it was a 10 out of 10, but the view, even if you hate the food, you'll still love the restaurant because the view is just so fun. And Luce and the kids love the restaurant. So.
Well, it's called the Sunset Cafe because it has the exposure to where you're dining at night. Like you are watching the sunset and it's honestly absolutely stunning. And Lucy was obsessed with it. She was like so, because she thought that it was like the fanciest restaurant she's ever been to, even though it's a beach restaurant.
It is pretty fancy.
It is, but you can still get beach service and they have a little bar area where you can just eat in your bathing suit and there is no pretense and it's like, it's nice. And there's always a good mix. So there'll be a mix of people who are coming dressed up really fancy from like another part of the island. And then there will be like maybe some kind of locals who are just, you know, shorts and t-shirt, doing it really chill. But the burger there is really good. That's what I would recommend.
And they give you snorkeling gear. I think, what does it cost, $5? Or that's, is that a deposit?
No, so you buy the mouthpiece, like to go in your snorkel for $5, but then you can get the goggles and everything for free. You can get stand-up paddle boards for free. You can get kayaks because the water is like crystal, right? So you can just go in kayaking even. You're going to see so many cool things in the water. And then because it's so calm, it's generally, you can do it almost anytime. So you can go kayaking, stand-up paddleboarding. They have a ton of like kids' sand toys. So every day the kids would go up to the Creole Rock Water Sports, which is like the beach kind of activity center. And they just grab the sand toys they'd want to play for the day, like shovels and buckets and things, which is so nice because last time we were there, they didn't have that out. So then we went to some boutique instead of the grocery store and bought a bucket and shovel for like €20. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It was the best €20 we've ever spent. But it's so nice now because they have like a huge collection of these things and the kids just go grab it, play with it, bring it back at the end of the day. They had like floaties out there. And then if you want to, you know, rent a boat or go on a catamaran, go snorkeling, scuba diving, anything like that, they'll set that up for you. Anything like motorized. But it's sweet. So I go back and forth in my mind a lot because, you know, I'll have conversations with my friends about like the benefits of an all-inclusive as opposed to a vacation like this. And I had only gone my first all-inclusive as an adult because I had always preferred going somewhere and then like exploring around that. But as a parent, I get why people would want an all-inclusive.
Yeah.
However, I will say, like, I was thinking about our mornings here, right? Compared to our mornings in maybe like Mexico when we were at an all-inclusive there. So we'd have to wake up. The kids, you know, they'd wake up, be happy on their own for a little bit, but then they'd start getting like hungry and wanting snacks. But because we're just in a regular hotel room, we didn't have access to that. So you have to get out of bed, get half ready, go down to, you know, the lobby restaurants, wait in line, get the food, sit down. It's a whole big thing. But we had a full kitchen here. And even if you don't have the full kitchen, every room at this place has a kitchenette. So it was sweet because then we had all the foods that the kids liked in this reachable cupboard for them. So I'd wake up in the morning, give them, you know, a device, put on the TV, which played Bluey for some reason 24/7, which was awesome. And then they just go in the cupboard and get their own snacks in the morning.
Yeah, it felt like home.
It did. It did. It was so comfortable for them. They had an espresso, which we have an espresso at home. That's actually, I think, where we first tried the Nespresso a couple years ago.
Yeah, an espresso is so good. And we got your dad hooked on espresso, so he's going to buy an espresso machine.
Oh, they're the
best. And the kids are hooked on commercials. They love TV commercials. It felt like the 90s there. Because anytime you're in a hotel, too, you're usually watching like traditional TV for a bit. And it is kind of fun to watch commercials. I know we hate them now in today's society, but...
Everything that would come on, they'd be like, I want that for my birthday. But it was fun, too, because they didn't get it at first, that they could only watch the shows that were on and they couldn't, like, go through a catalog of shows. I'm like, no, you don't get to pick. You just watch what the TV tells you to watch.
And that scarcity made them care so much. Like, they didn't want to go to the washroom. They would start crying when they had to go, I'm nervous. I'm going to miss it. It really made them know what shows they actually care about and what shows they don't.
Do you remember as a kid, too, like... trying everybody, like, you know, watching some with your friends or your family, and then everybody's holding it in until the commercial comes and everybody runs away to go to the bathroom, get snacks, whatever it is. And then the one person sitting in the kitchen just does the yell, it's back on! And then everybody comes like speeding in.
Yeah, my sister and I would watch TV mostly together. I wouldn't really have communal nights, except for America's Funniest Home Videos. We watched kind of as a family.
That was the best important. Show.
America's Funniest People was important, but not as important as...
What's that one?
Well, one was hosted by Bob Saget.
Yeah.
And one was hosted by Dave Coulier, who are both on the show Full House. So America's Funniest People followed America's Funniest Videos.
Is it like...
It's like the Family Guy to the Simpsons.
Yeah, cool. Because now, I've seen on, I think like Disney has it, they have America's Funniest Animals. So was it like a subsection of that where it's like America's Funniest People, they don't show animals. They only stick to people being goofy?
Well, so what it would be is, it's a loose distinction, but America's Funniest Home Videos would have like a guy getting hit in the balls by a football.
Right.
But America's Funniest People, the... People would have to be funny, like a Robin Williams type guy doing something. It would be less incidental pranks or accidents and more just people having unusual talents like, hey, I can shove a million cigarettes in my mouth and do something silly while on vacation. And those videos would be submitted.
Oh, I like that. But yeah, great shows. Great for family nights. I tried to get the kids in the animal one. I think they liked it.
We're talking about America's Funniest Home Video series now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Just for a second. I liked this digression. I wanted to follow it through.
So you tried to get our kids into America's Funniest Animals?
Last week before we went on the vacation. It's on Disney.
Oh, I thought you meant on the show. No. I'm like, I
the
guess
animal version.
Betty can look like a little monkey sometimes, but.
That would be really funny. Just dress them up and keep trying to prank the producers at the show to put the kids on.
I was obsessed with America's Funniest People because they had this jackalope. Have you ever heard of this?
A jackalope?
It's like, I don't know what it is, but it's this little furry thing with antlers.
Yeah.
And I thought I could submit my own version of the jackalope. So I was trying to make one at home out of stuffed animals and antlers. And like I was filming my own skit and I realized... Halfway through, I'm like, they're never going to accept this.
We tried to film something for it once, too.
The jackalope?
No, not the jackalope. It was so goofy, and it's probably been on that 100 times. But it's where you sit on your knees, and then somebody, like, goes, what is it? They go behind you and put shoes on their hands.
Yeah.
And then you just look like you have, like, a tiny little body, and then you kick the shoes up, and they go up to your head, and you do the can-can and stuff. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen that done?
I feel like that's a cancelable offense right now.
Is it?
Maybe. I don't know if little people would appreciate that.
It's not even like, it's like you're, yeah, I guess. But you know what? We tried it. We've got a lot of it on footage and, you know, we were 8.
It was a simpler time. But 8-year-old Alex should be ashamed of herself.
I am. Shade, okay, I want you to, if you can distill the awesome vacation that we just had, if you can distill one specific awesome moment or thing that we did to be like your favorite part of it, what would it be?
I'm so simple. Mm-hmm. I'm like the simplest person. So, you know, people are like, I love swimming. And they go swimming for a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't really love swimming, but I love being in the water.
Your water
so
baby.
Sometimes people think, oh, I like the ocean. Mm-hmm. And they'll go in it maybe for an hour. or 20 minutes or half an hour and come out. I can be in the ocean for 8 hours. Like, I can put in long amounts of time. So yes, there was like a lot of magical moments with the children, but by and large, just being in that ocean.
Okay, so a magical moment for me that has to do with you being in the ocean and the kids all wrapped up in one. Our last day there, I started getting horribly sunburned because I was like snorkeling with the kids. My butt was in the air. My butt is red as a lobster shell that has been cooked. And anyway, so Shane was in the ocean. I was on a chaise lounge on the beach, and the kids were just running between us. And I didn't have to move. Shane didn't have to move.
So they would run to the water,
play in the water
for about a minute, and then run back to you. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Betty was doing that for probably 2 hours.
It was amazing. Because then Shane and I both didn't have to move. We were both just chilling. The kids were being adorable. They were getting a crazy workout in. And it was such a fun, cool moment for me. And we had everything covered, like supervision-wise. Yet we both got to do what we wanted.
And it just showed how well the swimming lessons worked. Because now the kids are so comfortable in the water.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're a parent who is in swimming lessons that are very nice to the children, mm-hmm. like we have these YMCA swimming lessons.
Yeah.
Where they're not really swimming lessons, right? Like they treat the kids like very respectfully.
Yeah. It's just for fun. It's like the kids go there to have fun.
But the swimming lessons that really did the trick were the one where the woman's not mean. She's the nicest woman in the world, but she's hard on the kids in the sense that she challenges them and she pushes them beyond the limits that they think they're comfortable with, but limits that she knows they can be comfortable with eventually. Mm-hmm. That is what really unlocked the potential in our kids. So I think if you're one of those apprehensive parents who's worried about their kids joining one of these classes where the teachers are a little bit tougher on them, I'd say get over it because it is the best for your children all in all. And had I been in one of those classes as a kid, I'd be way stronger swimmer.
Oh, yeah.
So right now I'm just kind of doggy paddling my whole life and floating in the ocean. But there's another multiverse where I'm swimming.
Shane, can you
properly
combine your love for being in the water just for so many hours in a day combined with if you were a really strong swimmer, you would be unstoppable. Like you could have been an Olympian.
Yeah, I'm like a couch potato, but just in water. So sometimes people are like, you must have got a workout in there. It's like, nope, I did nothing. I was kind of standing on my tippy toes the whole time.
I have some really good footage of you when the kids were doing their running back and forth thing. And you're just laying in the shallows where the waves kind of break and just getting pushed around happily by the waves and the water. And I was like, that looks so comfortable. I can only imagine you have so much sand in your pants. But it was also just a really cute video of the kids running back and forth.
Have you ever seen the movie Billy Madison?
Yes.
You know the character Revolting Blob? How he's in the pool and he's got the multiple like flotation devices?
Yeah.
That's how I felt.
You were. You did have multiple flotation devices as well.
I did.
Yeah. No, that was nice. I really loved that moment, like that afternoon when we were sitting like that. And then you and I, so we have now gone to St. Martin 3 times, and this was our first time going out like at night, like late.
Yeah.
And like going out for, you know, as you'd say, a night on the town.
And we weren't holding back. We were, you know, this is all, anytime you have more than one martini, you're going for it.
We found a bar called the Blue Martini in Grand Cass, and it was the most happening spot at night. It was wild. Like the one night they had live music, which was so fun. And then you and I we just went so hard for it, even though it was not as crazy of a party as the second time we went out.
Yeah, both times were wilder than I would think would happen in St. Martin. It's kind of, there used to be a club in Hamilton called Absinthe.
Yes.
And it reminded me of that a little bit. It was like the Absinthe of St. Martin.
Except everybody spoke French.
Yes.
But we were making friends. We were speaking broken French and broken English with everyone.
I was not speaking broken French.
I was.
Let's hear some broken French. Exactly.
Je ne comprends pas.
What does that mean?
I do not understand.
Oh, okay. I do not think. You were speaking maybe broken English.
And broken French.
Well, no. Well, sometimes when people talk to a French person who doesn't speak English that well, you start being like, pass the French fry, and then they think they're talking French.
You speak with an accent.
Yeah, but in like slower and broken English, and you think that's helping the people. Oh,
I love a martini.
Yeah.
You know, we had a really great time though. The one night, so we were out on our second last night there, because obviously we didn't want to go out like before flying on an airplane and everything. But on our second last night, Shane and I went out back to the Blue Martini, and there was like a huge birthday party going on. There was a ton of people there. A lot of people from our hotel were there, from the Sunset Cafe, like the hotel restaurant were there, and everybody was partying. And it was just, it was a blast. We were out until like we walked back in our hotel room at 1 a.m., which means we would have left the bar at like 12:50 because it's just kind of down the street. But previously, we didn't know what the vibe would be like walking home. We didn't know what the streets would be like at night.
If it was safe or not.
Yeah. So we heard lots of great things last time we were there and staying in this town. Everybody's like, oh, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. And then this time we met an older couple, and they would just be leaving the hotel when we'd be coming home from dinner with the kids. And they were telling us, they were like, oh, yeah, we got home at 11:30 last night. And I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, okay, if they can, I mean, they're like 65, like, you know, I don't know. If they can do it, we can do it. And then we did. And it was so safe. It was so fun. And I regret not doing that on our last trip. And it just makes me want to get back there even sooner. So well, we can kind of go out again.
We had your mom and not your mom and your dad. So right. I don't know if your mom would have been comfortable if us going out into the town, compounded by the fact that the kids were 2 years younger than they are now. Every year with kids, it gets a little bit easier when you double up on the babysitting help, which we had this time.
Oh, huge.
But yeah, huge shout out to Lorna and John for doing so much babysitting and just being so fun to hang with, because they are very easy to vacation with.
Well, it's handy because, you know, when we got the room that we did, and like Grand Cass Beach Club has a ton of different style rooms. Like you can get a loft room, you can get a one separate bedroom, and then a pull-out couch. So we had my parents up in their entire own apartment upstairs. Like they had their own bathroom, two beds, and then a huge balcony. And then us downstairs, we had our own separate bedroom with an ensuite. The kids were in the living room on a really comfy pullout, and then we had the kitchen, dining space, and another balcony. So it's like we had enough separation.
Mm-hmm.
But then like my mom's doing like all the little things that you don't even realize are happening unless you're the one doing them. Like she's getting up and like brushing the kids' hair every day and doing their hair. My dad was clipping their fingernails and toenails, and just like even those tiny little things that you do as a parent that add up in your day, and you know, when you're on vacation might cause just annoyance or just lots of extra things. It was so nice to have those tasks dispersed between the four of us.
Oh yeah.
Like absolutely. It was sweet.
It's invaluable. And such a luxury.
I want to ask you, Shane, next time we go, is there anything that you would do differently from this time? Because I can think of one thing.
Tell me, because I don't have anything.
It's not even that I would do differently. It's just we got to go to Pinal Island, because we didn't this time, and Lucy was bugging me about it so much. But
I try to take you to Pinal Island as much as possible.
You know what? That's hard to do on a vacay when you're so busy because you're so wiped at night.
Yeah.
It's like it's so difficult.
Well, you had that exclamation point problem too.
Oh my God, guys.
Because Alex doesn't get periods. She gets exclamation points. I'm not sure if people realize this.
Second day of the trip. And I was like, are the sharks going to eat me now? Like,
I saw one coming at you. But he saw the way you were acting. He's like,
get me out of here.
Yeah.
This girl's going to be too fussy for me. Yeah, that was an issue. That was so annoying.
You can say that again.
So I want to talk about one thing that happened. So I like to talk, you know, when it comes to traveling with kids, vacations with multiple people, whatever, lowering expectations. Because when you go anywhere with your kids, if you want to relax, if you want to have a nice time and not, you know, get your panties in a bunch, you have to have really low expectations and be okay when things don't go your way or when kids flip out or something, because it's bound to happen. And if you do care about all those things, then you're not going to be able to relax or have a fun time. You need to kind of let those things roll off your shoulder. And despite the fact that I preach this all the time, first night of the trip, I did not follow my own advice. And I started getting my panties in a knot. And Betty was so close to having a tantrum in a hotel restaurant. And then Shane kind of stepped in and he looked at me and he's like, Alex, remember, this isn't worth it. We were sitting at the restaurant and Betty wanted like my iPad or something, my phone to play a game while we waited for the food. And I was like, no, Betty, first night of vacation, we're going to sit here nicely as a family. And then Betty has had a whole day. Like she was up for 24 hours. We were exhausted. Okay. I was exhausted. I can only imagine how a freaking 3-year-old is feeling.
Oh, yeah. It's like you want a cigarette, ice cream, whatever. Just take it. Like it's been a rough day. And
so I was holding out and all she wanted was to decompress and play on the phone while the food came because she was exhausted and tired of waiting and just needed something to allow her to feel calm. And Shane was like, Alex, just give it to her. Like just give it to her right now. Save yourself the stress, save her the stress and do it. And I did it. Oh, my God. She did not tantrum. I felt a million times better and then ordered a margarita and everything was saved. Like the night was saved. The embarrassment was saved. Everything was saved because I had you there, honestly, Shane, to remind me to lower my expectations. And I think that that's helpful. And I like that we can hopefully do that for each other.
Yeah, you're welcome. But I just think even though it was a plain day and on plain days, you have to have a more grace when it comes to the kids' behavior because that is such an exhausting thing just to be so high in the air in that plane and trapped for so long and how boring that is. But we're on vacation, so we're doing things we wouldn't normally do. We're indulging more in things that are a little bit, air quote, naughtier for us. Mm-hmm. So I think the kids should have that same thing and they know, okay, there's sometimes where you're going to be a little bit more strict.
Yeah.
And then there's sometimes where you can loosen up on the traditional rules. We're not home. We're not in some fancy restaurant. There's a million kids playing. Kids are screaming. There's seagulls stealing our food. We can look at the iPad a little bit longer than we could at home.
Oh, 100%. Especially since it's like they're doing so much. We have so much quality time when you go somewhere. It's like they want an iPad at dinner. Frickin' do it. You're spending all day together playing at the beach, doing everything. Give them the iPad at dinner. Parents, you are going to have a nicer meal for it. You are going to be able to sit back with that cold glass of wine and enjoy it. Like, let your kids, there's no rule in the parenting book that says your kids are going to be better off as people if they can sit through a dinner when they're 3 years old. They're fine. I promise you. But there was another freak out that happened. Our expectations were low. And I want to talk to you about this because it was yesterday after we had come home. So Betty and Lucy were amazing on the airplane. In fact, there was a little baby behind us crying for a lot of the flight and Betty found her so cute and would go and cheer her up. Did you see Betty? Half the flight, she's standing up in her chair, making faces at the baby, showing the baby her toys. The baby was loving it. Betty was loving it.
No, I was in no mood for human interaction on that flight. So I was like, oh, if I look over, someone might want to talk to me.
Well, you were human interacting through the game. Shane was playing somebody on our airplane and like some...
Yeah, it was like
some computer game.
Yeah, it was like Connect 4, but Connect 5. And I felt like I was the smartest man in the world.
But so anyway, Betty and Lucy were amazing on the flight, right? And then we get off. The second we are off the plane, Betty just starts melting down.
No. It wasn't the second we were off.
Well, it was the second Lucy took off ahead.
Well, that was part of the problem. But what really did... Okay, so she was upset about Lucy winning a race that they were having. Yeah. Lucy's always going to win. She's bigger. But what set her off was the escalator.
Oh, my God.
Lucy, to some extent, but Betty, to a huge extent, has a big escalator problem. Mm-hmm. She wants to go by herself. And we've tried it. She falls down the escalator if we let her go by herself. And then if we try to hold her, there's this weird give and take where somehow you and I both end up going down the escalator without Betty. And then we have to run back up. So Betty's confident she can do it herself, but too scared to actually do it. And then this time you just carried her down the escalator.
Yeah.
And then that was the biggest, most egregious thing Betty's ever seen in her life. And she was going to fight and kick and sleep on the ground and do everything to not move.
I need to set the scene here because not only did I pick her up to bring her down the escalator, but it's like, no, let her take her time and go. I couldn't. You know how when everybody leaves the plane at the same time and then there's just 200 people that are in like a hurry and everybody's kind of annoyed and everybody's just trying to get to customs in their luggage? It's like... We were at that point. So we were on the first escalator down from everybody leaving the plane and nobody's in a good mood. And so I'm like, I can't let her sit here and take her time. I tried that for a second and she was just sitting there not letting people go. And then I saw like one angry 7-year-old lady just like kind of roll her eyes a bit to her husband. And I was like, okay. So I picked her up, brought her down. And then like Shane said, through all of customs, it was a mix of her being like screaming, sobbing, telling me, stop touching me, yelling, I don't want you. And I'm like, somebody's going to think this isn't my child and that we have kidnapped this child.
It's way better when you're holding her than when I am. Yeah. I always feel like I'm like a child abductor. Help, help. I can't move my legs. He won't let me move. He won't let me move.
And then so these things were happening. Everybody is looking at us like people, you know, 300 yards away on the other end of the customs place are staring at us being like, what are they doing to this kid? And then Betty would be like, put me down. So I'd put her down and then I'd walk away because I'm trying to get, you know, do our customs things, do our declaration. And then she's yelling, mommy, where's my mommy? So then I walk up to her. I'm like, hey, honey, like, do you want me to pick you up? She goes, get away from me. So I'm like, can't win. Most people are looking at us with sympathy or like exaggerated, like, oh, I feel you. You got this. A lot of other parents with kids are like, oh, we've been there. You guys are doing great.
It was very nice when that 80-year-old woman came up and said, I feel you. You got this.
80. But the only thing, so it was like, it was horrendous, right? And this is now going on for like 15 minutes. Everybody's tired of hearing Betty. And then a flight attendant from our flight, who just so happens to be my mother's oldest friend, like since they were 11 years old, she sees us and she hears Betty crying. So we stop and we're right beside a customs officer. And she just looks at Betty and she goes, hey, honey, what's wrong with you? And then Betty just stops crying immediately. She goes from screaming bloody murder to just stopping and staring at this woman, just kind of sniffling. And then Thalia, the flight attendant, just talked her down as she's talking. I think Betty was so jarred by the fact that somebody other than me or you was like, what's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. And doing it in such a kind way.
Well, and then, they're wearing an outfit, like an authoritative outfit.
Yes.
And kids get scared by that.
Yes. And then she was asking Betty about the flight and what she ate and the food. And as she's talking to Betty, Betty's just kind of taking deep breaths. Like I was telling her to relax and take deep breaths and saying it in a nice voice. I was doing everything right. Shane was doing everything right, but she wasn't chilling out. And then it was like when the stranger to her was doing these things, she was actually able to get taken out of the crazy headspace she was in and calm down and take those breaths. And then she was fine, happy, sweet Betty for the rest of the time. And I was like, where was this when she was embarrassing the heck out of us in the, not that I was embarrassed, but you know what I mean?
Well, we knew that she would listen to other people too, because mm-hmm. there was, you know, one of the agents were trying to corral the big crowd and show people where to go. And you just went to the agent, tell her we're going to get in big trouble if she doesn't listen to you. And then the woman kind of played along. Yeah. She's like, yes, you have to listen. You have to go that way. And Betty's scared that she's going to go to prison. She plays a game where I always go to jail in this game. But when it's real life, she thinks I might go to jail. So I have to listen. So that game is good. Yeah. Like in the airport, we have to listen or we could get in trouble, which isn't a lie.
No.
You have to go in the right spots in airports. And there is tons of police officers. So I always try to find a police officer or agent or some person. Mm-hmm. And like you did, say, see that person? They're going to get us in big trouble if we don't listen. And it works. I don't know, call it fear mongering, but I call it an effective parenting method through an airport.
100%. And I think honestly, it makes them even feel more comfortable with other authority figures, because then those authority figures, they're always nice and they're nice to the kids. And they're like, yes, you have to go this way, but you have to do it nicely. And then it's like there's a little bit of dialogue. It's nice, but they're still a little bit scared. I think it's the perfect parenting move. And you know what? Maybe this is a hot tip. Maybe like this is, I haven't heard anybody talking about this. Find an authority figure and kind of make the eyes at them and be like, they're going to get you in trouble and see if they'll play along.
I feel like people kind of know that, but it's sometimes it's good to tell people things they already know, like to do it, to actually do it.
Feel comfortable doing that. It works.
Yeah. Are we done with the first part?
We are. We are.
Like I'm ready for questions.
We're at the mailbag segment. All right, Satan. Shane, bring us into this segment.
This is the mailbag segment. We answer questions that you send into Alex.
All right. So first question. What is the hardest part about traveling with kids? I think it's what we were just talking about, honestly.
Yeah, the fact that they're not adults makes it so much harder.
The fact that you can't be like, just chill out, we're 10 minutes through customs, but if you keep crying, it's going to take 20 minutes.
Well, they're just not embarrassed, right? Yeah. This is obvious, but they don't care if they're kicking people and biting you and throwing their cookies across the floor. But you kind of tune it out.
Yeah.
Like, I can't hear a kid yelling the same way I can hear an adult yelling.
Oh, the second an adult raises their voice or is rude to anybody or does anything unsavory, I lock into that person. I hate them and I can't stop stewing. Even if they don't do anything to me specifically, mm-hmm. like if I hear another adult being rude to a flight attendant or something, I will stew about it the entire flight and give that person nasty looks any chance I get. A kid, do not care.
I feel like people who don't have kids mm-hmm. are like dogs. Mm-hmm. Stay with me. And a kid screaming or yelling is like a dog whistle.
Yeah.
Like they can really hear it. And almost people who have kids can't hear it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? That
no, I get you. But and I think that it makes sense. Like maybe if you lived on a farm, you're used to the roosters every morning. But if you're not, then you're like, what's that noise?
Which is bad for the roosters because they're supposed to be a wake-up call for the farmers. But you need like a different sound.
Somebody yelling in your face. The hardest part is just, I think, honestly, though, as adults, allowing ourselves to lower those expectations. I don't think it has anything to do with the kids. I think it has to do with us and our own patience and our own ability to kind of play ball. Because a lot of people aren't good with it. You know what I mean?
And baseball?
That too, yeah. But just allowing things to
parents are pretty good though in general. I will give parents a lot of credit on planes. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of good parents out there.
Oh.
Like I haven't seen bad parenting in a long time. Where I'm just like, that's terrible. I've seen terrible people reacting to kids. Like on the way there was just terrible people in the lineup. Oh, there was these ogres, I'll call them, who were like, let's move it along. Let's move the line along. They're just yelling at a lineup to move along. It's like yelling at traffic when there's a traffic accident. You can't move to like, hurry up. What is your problem?
And it was horrendous.
That's why I had to tell you, like, do not interact with these people because I'm the one who's going to get punched in the face.
Oh.
And I'm just going to be like angelically calm.
What about that dude? Okay, well, here's the thing. Right before those people started yelling and everything, there was a guy. So it's like the plane lands and, you know, we're waiting. There's still so many people in front of us that need to get their bags and leave. And this guy from 10 rows back is now in the middle of the row between Shane and I.
Oh, when we're on the plane. Yeah, people getting up. Yeah. I that's.
So we can't even get off. And he's from 10 rows back. So it's like, so then I just shot him a look and held it. Wouldn't back down. Then he backed up slightly. But Shane still had to like get and move out of the way so he could get out and get our bags.
No, I just always, anytime someone does that, I just act like they don't exist. Like we're talking about when you're in a plane.
Yeah.
It's the pilot has released that ding noise and everyone wants to stand up. Fine. I'm over the fact that people want to stand up, even though it's a pointless act. Maybe you want to stretch your legs. Mm-hmm. Do that. But when you start encroaching on when people are supposed to get their own bags and acting like you're going to butt in front, that's where I draw the line. So when people do that, especially in this situation where I have family members across the aisle, I just go, Lucy, hold my hand. Yeah. And I put my hand across, thus setting a pick, unless they want to limbo under my arm, which would be worth it for them to do. They're not getting by. And then I use my kids as an excuse to, you're not going in front of me. And then sometimes those people still try to butt in front once you get off the plane and fine. But nothing is more satisfying than them doing that, getting ahead of us, only to wait at the luggage.
Oh my God.
And then we get our luggage first. And then so we satisfying. Calmly get in our cab or Uber, whatever it is, and leave before them.
You know what?
So many people don't realize you're rushing to get to a carousel with luggage on it. A lot of the time that luggage isn't even moving by the time you get there. Mm-hmm. And so often, even if it is, you still have to wait for your bag. The rushing at airports, I somewhat understand it because people like to feel like they're going somewhere. We're doing something. You're not doing anything 98% of the time. So especially when you have kids and you're budding friend kids, that drives me wild.
Oh, it's nuts. You know what? It gives me the same satisfaction as driving on the highway and somebody's tailing you and being a complete jerk off. And then, you know, they are tailing mm-hmm. you, making you feel unsafe. And then they just take off ahead and they're speeding. You could see them tailing other cars. And then 10 minutes down the road, you see them pulled over with a cop. It is
that happened to
so
us once where
satisfying.
We saw that on the way to your cottage. Someone saw was doing that.
And then also saw an idiot who was on a motorbike doing wheelies on the highway and tailing people and driving in between cars and everything. I'm assuming he was okay, but he learned his lesson. He was in an ambulance and we saw him. It was
Alex, too far.
What? I'm not kidding though. This happened.
I'm
not saying he was dead. I'm just saying he
learned
got
his lesson.
A little injured. He was being crazy.
Let's cut it off at him, person getting a speeding ticket.
Well, he could have endangered another family.
Okay. What's the next question?
Okay, the next question. Is it hard to travel with grandparents? You guys seem to do that a lot.
It's hard traveling. It's easier to travel with grandparents because, you know, they're helping out with the children.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it would be harder if you didn't have children just because more people, it's always a little bit tricky because people have so many different personalities. But
I think what makes it really easy though is when you have different bedrooms. So like if you have two connecting hotel rooms.
If I had to sleep in a bed with your mom or your dad, that'd be extremely awkward for them.
The three of you just cuddled up.
Yeah.
I'll take the couch. But I think that's a huge way. If you can get a hotel room with like even just a little divider just to give you the illusion of your own space, I think that does wonders for everybody's like mental well-being when you have to travel with other adults.
A little divider? Like there's a room with a little divider and two beds?
I don't know. Some rooms have like a little wall that's not a full wall that at least gives you like...
Yeah, okay.
I'm just trying to think of different options.
Yeah, space is necessary for people.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it depends on the people. Like some in-laws are a nightmare. I have really good in-laws, so I'm lucky. I can travel with them. They're accommodating. They're nice. They're fun. Some in-laws, you know, let's say you want to drink. Some in-laws might be Christian and not, well, I guess Christians drink. I don't know. Well, Mormon or something,
Catholics
not drink.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, as long as they're not at odds with your personality and you can, you know, you work together, it can be fun. But yeah, I think it's like anything. Sometimes traveling with your wife can be a nightmare.
Oh my God, big time.
Or your husband. But
big time.
We've got a good system going.
Next question. You guys do a lot of things. Do you actually keep your chill or do you just appear to?
I think it's kind of like when someone's taking your picture. Mm-hmm. You're never like in the middle of an argument, like, fuck you, snap. So it is really hard to organically film content when you're angry at each other. Mm-hmm. So, say, I love True Earth and do this True Earth ad. No, and then film it and put it. So yeah, I don't know. I think we get pissy like anyone else.
Yeah.
I'm not moody, but people can perceive me as moody. Because often what I need, and I think for people who are extremely extroverted or extremely comfortable, they don't understand when people can be quiet for prolonged periods or kind of walk off. Sometimes I need to just walk away from people and sit by myself for like 20 minutes. And some people can be like, ooh.
Including me. And I should be used to this because I've been with you for almost a decade.
Yeah, but I'm not like pissy. In those situations, I'm just sometimes I get drained and like, you know, you hear this almost at the point of annoyance where people are like, my social battery. And it's like this. Yeah. And it's like, shut up. But at the same time, it's so valid and real.
Yeah. Well, I generally think we're good at keeping chill in a lot of situations, like whether it's with each other or other people or whatever, especially if it's other people, then we just both like. Mm-hmm. Get on the same side. You know what I mean?
But we argue like everyone else.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. So we do argue, like whether it's about, you know, if I think you're slighting me or whatever, something like that. If I'm like, what's wrong with you right now? And I may misinterpret you being quiet or something, or you might misinterpret something for me, or I don't know whether it's, that's generally what I think it is actually. And I think that's what causes the most pissy moments. But what I think we are good at is getting over those moments quickly mm-hmm. and not letting them linger too much.
Yeah.
And I think whether you're at home, whether you're working together, whether you're on vacation or just a regular Monday night, I think it's important to know when to choose when to prolong an argument, which we will do sometimes. But like,
I'm more direct. I'm probably like, if we have annoying qualities, I'm annoyingly directly confrontational. Mm-hmm. And you are annoyingly not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think both things can be too much.
Oh, 100%. Your confrontation makes me nervous only because I'm so bad at it.
Well, because I always want to. I'm like, it's so fitting for my personality. I always want to know the ending of a movie before I see it. I always want the fight to be over before it's even really begun. Mm-hmm. And I don't let things linger for too long. Like, it's really hard for me to be angry at someone for longer than 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless the argument goes for longer than five minutes. That's the thing. But if the argument, when the second the argument is over, I'm almost over it. Mm-hmm. Whereas your style might be to maybe not even let the person fully know you're mad at them, but kind of create an air of...
Because I want you to realize why yeah. I'm mad at you and then come up to me and be like, I'm sorry for doing this. And I'll be like, it's okay.
And then after we have the argument, it might last a little bit longer, you know?
No, it doesn't last that long, Shane. I can shake things off. You do a million things to annoy me in the day and I shake them off and what? Then you don't even know.
You... Oh, man. I'm so annoyed. Am I that annoying? I didn't know I was doing so many to annoy you.
Not a million. Like maybe you'll do 10 things in a day where I'm just like, ugh. Jeez. With love. But I don't even tell you and I'm over it. And I probably do the same thing.
Well, thanks for not telling me.
And I'm saying this knowing full well I'm doing these things to you too.
I think you don't annoy me that much. Every day I tell you, oh yeah, you're the best lady. I say every single day, you're the best lady.
And I tell you every single day that you're the best man, that I love you so much, and it's true.
Okay. See? We fight like normal people.
Next question. Oh, this one's directly for Shane. We saw a lot of Alex via Insta, but what about Shane? Can we get a dad's perspective for the boys?
Is this Mike Gallant?
It's not. No, it's Jackson Hideki.
For the boys, what's the perspective he's looking for?
Dad vacay for the boys. Because I guess during Instagram, it was like all me talking like throughout the vacation, like showing me in a bikini, me with the kids, all that stuff. But so he wants, what's the vacay like from the dad's perspective? How is your bikini walking around?
How is my bikini?
I don't know. That doesn't make sense. Eric, you can cut that. That doesn't make sense.
No. Wait, let's keep it. Let's keep it. Some things natural here. I am the type of person when I'm on vacation, I like to be almost completely off the grid. And that is hard when you're with a content creator. And I love the content being created. So I always want the content to be created, but I don't always want to be in the content, which is at odds with what I do because, you know, I have the TV show and I do certain things, but I have to, it's like work for me in a way that's not relaxing. So I don't like to check emails. I don't like to respond to texts. I don't like to do anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like how I am in the water. People are like, he loves swimming. It's like, no, I don't. I love doing nothing.
You're just the what blob?
Revolting blob is the character's name from Billy Madison.
You're just the revolting blob in the water and on socials, and that's fine. And I know that inherently going in, I don't want to bother anybody. That's why it's all me, because I don't want, you know, I don't want to pester anybody
like,
else to be in it.
For me to post a photo on my grid on Instagram, like I talked about social battery, like it probably takes like 80% of my energy to do that.
I think you do it about once a year.
Yeah. It's so, and even I can't write a caption. Just picking an emoji.
Oh, don't tell me about that. I know all about you not being able to write a caption. Shane, what? We worked on a caption for a month and you then for this one post you want to make, worked on it for a month and you still never posted it.
Yeah, because then too much time goes by. It was talking about like the pandemic or something.
The show.
No, I know I'm joking.
Okay, wait. Your last post was December 17th, 2023. It's a great post. The fam at Niagara Falls. Prior to that, you won a basketball championship, so you posted that November 28th.
Any caption?
Champs.
Nice.
Niagara, no caption. Then you have, you were a guest on an interview show.
Oh, that was Tom a good Power. Caption. That was a big caption for me.
Yeah. So that was on July 3rd, 2023. You said, I wish that I could answer questions half as impressively as Tom Joe Power asked them. Thanks for having me, CBCQ.
Well, that was big. I was on Q, right?
No, I know. And then you had, so that was in the summer. Then you had one in the spring announcing your show. You had one in the spring for my B-Day. A great photo of me, actually, I will say.
Oh, and it's a birthday Barbie.
Yeah. And I'm so all that's in pink.
You know,
in clothes that you bought me. But that's, it's also a really flattering picture of me. And you don't put many flattering pictures of me on social media.
Well, I so realize you don't like that. When they're unflattering. But sometimes I get embarrassed of how attractive you are. So I feel like, stop oh, it. No, I do. So I feel like, listen to me. I feel like if I put up a photo where you look really good, people like, Shane's bragging about how hot his wife is. And I don't want to make other people who don't have really hot wives feel bad.
I'm always bragging about how hot my husband is. Are you kidding me?
Well, it's different now.
I tell people, the last time I went to Blue Martini in St. Martin, all I was doing was telling the hot French military guys at the bar how hot you were.
Get out of here. I'll get into the psychology of everything later, but I need to feel good today. So let's go to the next question.
Okay, the next question. What is your dream vacay destination as a couple and with kids?
I always like the idea of Tahiti.
I was going to say that.
I don't know anything about Tahiti, except Tahiti Treat was a big drink when I was a kid. To me, it was the best pop ever. It was the rarest pop to find in stores. It made me feel good. It made me feel like I was on vacation. And I like a mix of nostalgia with my vacations. Mm-hmm. So I feel like Tahiti is going to do something for me. But I don't even know what it is. It could be a shithole. I mentioned it to your dad and he was like, oh, it's windy. No, it was Aruba. Aruba, yeah. Because of that Beach Boys song, Aruba.
Jamaica.
Ooh, yeah. I wanna so I've already been to Jamaica, but Aruba is somewhere that I want to go. What's the other one? What's that song called? I always thought Kokomo was a place.
Oh, I know.
They made that up.
That's no. Okay, so my answer is also Tahiti. Yeah. And for me, it's not because of Tahiti Treat. It's because I used to obsessively read Betty and Veronica comics. Like, not Archie comics. I only wanted Betty and Veronica. And there was one, because sometimes in the comics, instead of having like a 5-page comic within the book, they'd have like dedicate half the book to this massive storyline. And it was so exciting. And there was one where Betty and Veronica went with Veronica's family, the Lodges, because they're super rich. Mm-hmm. They went to Tahiti and then they had this big adventure in Tahiti. And ever since then, I was like, oh my God, this seems like the best place on earth. And ever since then, I've wanted to go there. And then I remember seeing pictures of the hotels in the water, like in the Maldives and, you know, that style.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got to go to Tahiti.
Yeah. When your dad told me Aruba was too windy, really ruined my day. He's like, it's like a desert. And we're like, oh, is it there any greenery? He's like, yeah, it's all man-made though. So it felt like a weird version of Dubai or something, which Dubai isn't one of my locations I want to go to.
Neither for me, because it is just all man-made and on slave labor. So happy.
Double whammy.
Happy not to do that. Yeah. But yeah, I'd say Tahiti for me with kids or as a couple.
Yeah. Let's put it on the list.
Put it on the list.
Because Hawaii is somewhere I've been. In Hawaii, I romanticize so much. I just love Hawaii. Like, I love everything about the idea of it.
You know what? It's very much how I feel about St. Martin, too. Because it's similar, like mountainous and green and
St. Martin feels like our cottage or something. And it feels like a town more than a country.
I so hear you. It takes an hour only to drive around the island if there's no traffic. Like, you can do the whole island in an hour. Okay. How do you protect your skin from breaking out with all the sweat, sunscreen, etc.? I didn't. I learned a lot of lessons here. Okay.
Can I go pee while you answer this question?
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't bring any of my acne fighting stuff with me. Like Shane mentioned, I got my exclamation mark second day in the trip, putting so much sunscreen on my face throughout the day, every single day, sweating so much. You know, throughout the day while we're at the beach and everything, salt, whatever, everything. And I didn't have anything with me to like, I had one cleanser, an acne fighting cleanser, but that's it. And I was just doing a lot to my skin. And I have broken out so badly. And I have an event this week, like a high school reunion thing. And I have the whole, my whole jawline and like mouth area is a mixture now of hormonal plus, you know, environmentally caused pimples. And it's so bad. So I have learned a lesson on this trip. And like I protected my skin from sun. Sunscreen, tons of it. I had lots of moisturizers with me, but I learned a massive lesson in that if you're using that much sunscreen, if you're sweating so much, if you're doing all this stuff, playing in the sand, you're exposing your skin to so much, you need to go with an arsenal, especially if you're going to be on your period. Like you just need to go with an arsenal of stuff or you're going to break out like I have. And now I just have to go to my high school reunion with pimples all over my face, which will really make
you
me feel...
You do not have pimples all over your face.
No, I said my jawline... Look at this. That's my nothing. Jawline and mouth area.
You look good. I have to go to that reunion?
Yeah. It's not a... It's not... It's like a... It's a pub night, they're calling it, for the 50th anniversary.
I can hide somewhere, though?
Yeah, my parents will be there. Veronica will be
there.
It
makes it harder to hide, though, than there's more people.
Well, it's crazy because it's like not just my year, but it's the 50th anniversary for my whole high school. So it's every single year of alum that's going. But like Veronica's easy to talk to. She'll be there. You can just hang with her.
She'll be talking to other people she knows.
Well, hang with me.
Yeah. You sure you want me there?
100%.
Who's going to watch the kids?
Roseanne. Let's see. It's on... I don't know.
See, I might have to watch those kids. Oh, no. I gotta watch them.
Oh, dang it. No. Well, I might have lined something up. I forget.
Okay. All right. And well, stay tuned for that. What are you doing?
Well, I don't know.
Alex just pulled up her shirt and started playing with her breasts.
Stop. I'm just kind of stretching.
Okay. Weird stretch. Weird flex, as they say. But thank everyone so much, so much for listening to
this Family Tree podcast, episode 204.